This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And what an amazing privilege to start the year off in the presence of God and together with you. And I want to encourage all of us this year to really make worship and praise a priority, to hold on to God, to delight in Him, delighting in us, because that is a promise that God gives us, and He delights in those who delight in Him. And this morning, I want to... So last week, Sunday, we chatted to one another about the... just this question, really, we were looking at, who moved our joy? We were talking about joy in the Holy Spirit, the fact that it is fascinating that God says that the kingdom of God isn't in eating or drinking. It's in righteousness, in other words, in being right standing with God, and then things on, and then doing righteous things, and it is in peace, and it is in joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's fascinating that he says that the kingdom of God, it isn't in eating and drinking. So, because people in Paul's day, they were making all sorts of rules and regulations and things, and Paul says to them, look guys, it's not about eating this food or that food. It's not about all of those outside regulations. The kingdom of God isn't in the externals. The kingdom of God isn't in the rules. The kingdom of God is in a relationship with God. And out of that relationship with God flows peace, peace that is not rooted in external things, and flows a joy that is also not rooted in temporal things, but a joy in the Holy Ghost. And it says the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that God is wanting to lead the church, us specifically here, but also the church universally, into a fresh outpouring of His joy, into an understanding that joy doesn't have to be temporal, doesn't have to be rooted in whether Liverpool wins the Premier League or not, in my case, all right, whether they're on top or not, in temporal things, that the kingdom of God, the joy that God has available for us, has a deeper root, has a deeper value, has a deeper well. And we will be challenged on this. Well, not will be challenged. We are challenged on this, aren't we? As the people of God. Like never before, where is our joy? And we were just chatting to one another about the fact that God wants us to not manufacture joy, but to find our joy in the fact that He delights in us. The Bible says that God delights in those who trust Him. So God has created us with five senses, sensory beings. You know, dogs are amazing things. They like man's best friend, and they're incredible. These little animals, pets in general, like even a cat. We've got a little cat at home. I'm thinking, how did God manage to wire this being in such a way that it wants to be around human beings? Like that it's able to absorb all of your affection, and it's just like always so friendly, and you know, most of the time. Cats, of course, a little bit more temperamental than dogs. But in general, you know, but even as incredible as they are, they just operate on maybe one or two levels. You know, where they are beings driven by instinct most of the time and by conditioning most of the time. But God has wired us as human beings with five amazing senses. Why? Because God is a multifaceted God. He's a God who loves, and He gets excited, He gets sad, He gets angry. He's got emotions. And sometimes what the devil comes to do for us in our walk with Christ, he pushes us into such a regimented, strained existence where it's always about the next breakthrough. It's always about doing the right thing. And we get so tense and so stuck very often in doing the right thing, we forget about our joy. And for me, the point was driven home with Kate's baptism, as I shared last week, where we were chatting to her, and she was speaking to the people around the pool about why she wants to get baptized. And then I was wanting to take her to the other side of the pool so we could get into the pool and baptize her. And she shared the testimony, and then she jumped into the pool, dove into it. And I'm like, no, wait. No, you must wait for me to baptize you first. You must be dry, and then you must be wet when I take you into the water. I'm like, Jesus, Heinrich, relax. Just relax. I'm not as stuck up and hung up as you are. On all the, you must do this first and that first. She's manifesting joyful obedience. And so we did baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, soaking wet already. But it was such a small yet powerful reminder to me as to how complicated we can become. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God is in joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm wondering if we talk about the kingdom and we talk about manifesting the kingdom and representing the kingdom, because the truth is this, people on the outside, people who are not part of the kingdom of God, will not supernaturally smell where the kingdom is. Will not supernaturally wake up one day and say, aha, Eureka, I've got the revelation, I must go to that place. Now that sometimes happens, especially in the Muslim areas, and God comes and he uses angels and speaks to them. But for the most part, God has designed the church, the body of Christ, believers, to live in such a way that people would look at us and see us to be part of a kingdom, part of a community. And if the Bible says that the kingdom of God is in righteousness, and I believe that we are growing in that, and we are in right standing with God, and we worship God, and we do good towards one another, and we've got a peace that's not easily shaken, but there's a joy element as well. I believe we should be the most joyful people on the planet. I believe, as Natasha shared with us this morning, there should be something inside of us that makes our baby leap. My mom got some good news this holiday, and she was struggling with her eyesight, and went to the doctor and all sorts of different tests and stuff. And then she got some incredible news, a breakthrough that she was standing in faith for many years. The good news was so good that her eyesight improved. It was amazing that the good news released such a lot of endorphins and dopamine and serotonin, all sorts of stuff inside of her, that it physically changed her eyesight because of the joy inside of her. And I believe that there are miracles and breakthroughs and things that we are standing in faith for, and the key to that is our joy. And I was touching on this last week, and then I read a couple of Facebook posts, and everywhere it's about the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. And so I want to continue with that thought this morning. Het ek my notes teruggekry? Daniel? My notes faster. Oh, here it is. Praise God. All right, let's dive into it. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Does anybody have the New Living Translation here? Does anybody read from the New Living Translation? Isaiah 29, verse 13. Anybody here with the Bible? New Living Translation, NLT, or the Bible app on your phone? Somebody that would, with a nice voice, that want to read that for us. Any takers? New Living Translation, Isaiah 29, verse 13. All right, that's in the HCSB. Ja, jy kan sommer vir ons lees. Oh, ek het nie 'n bril by my nie. Dis 'n goeie verskoning daar, ek het nie 'n bril by my nie. Die waarheid, Jesaja 29, vers 13, die Nuwe Lewende Vertaling. So het die Here gesê, we do this in Afrikaans vir, so het die Here gesê, hierdie mense sê hulle behoort aan my, hulle eer my met hulle monde, maar hulle harte is ver van my af. Right, so this is a bit of a sobering verse right at the beginning. But here we have God speaking about his people, and his people, they are coming to him pretty much like we are coming to him every Sunday. So there's worship going on, there's a lot of festivity going on, and the people are gathering together. But then afterwards, after those gatherings, God is sort of having a conversation here with himself. God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're in perfect communion with one another, perfect community. And God is, after this meeting with his people, after this date with his people. Many of you have been on a date. Many of you spent some time with friends this holiday that you were looking forward to. And when you leave your meeting with them, when you leave your time with them, you take some memories with you, don't you? You walk away from the Christmas meal, you walk away from that coffee, you walk away from the hike, and you take with you memories that you have built up with your loved ones. And here we see that God has a memory from his engagement with his people. He's got a nasmarki, he's got an aftertaste. There's something that is left with God after his people have been in his presence. So think about that. So when we leave this place, and we know we don't leave God behind, but when we come together like this, or when you have your quiet time, when you engage with God, you are having a meeting with God, are you not? You're having an engagement with God. I mean, you are speaking to someone, you are listening to someone, you are singing to someone, you are listening to him singing over you, you're reading the word. You are having a physical meeting with someone. At least I hope you are. If you're not, then you need to seriously consider maybe getting a chair for God. Get up from your bed, go somewhere else, sit down, pull out a chair, and just give yourself a physical reminder that there's someone real that you are talking to, and he's having a meeting with you. As your wife or your spouse or your son or your daughter want to have a meeting with you, and when you finished with that meeting, you walk away with some feeling, some warmth, some revelation, something that God has dropped in your heart. But you know what? God also has a desire to walk away from his interactions with us and to have something that has happened to his heart. And we know from his side, his delight is in those who delight in him. So he wants us to be in his presence and to do what? To enjoy him. I was watching the movie The Shack the other day. Contentious movie, all right? Let me just say it from the word go. Doctrinally, there are a couple of things that you can debate with, primarily around revelation, the primary revelation of God as a father. Scripture makes it clear God has revealed himself as a father to mankind. In the movie, in the book, God there is portrayed for the most part there as a woman, right? So be careful, watch it, read the book with discernment. But what is fascinating about the book and the movie and what makes it tangible is that there is a real person inviting this man that has gone through his trauma to a physical space where God can meet with him. And then God says to him at one stage, look, I'm not holding you prison in the shack. The shack represents the place of this man's trauma where he lost his little girl. I'm not holding you prison because I'm not interested in slaves. I'm interested in relationship. And so when God says, draw near to me, engage with me, he has a desire for what? For relationship, for us to enjoy him. But in this case, the people of God were not enjoying him. It says here that God's memory of his people is that they draw near to me. We are good with that, eh? We're good with the words. We're Christians. We shofar rights. We whatever. We belong to you. They honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far away from me. So it is clear that sometimes, and Jan touched on it, he was challenged on just the Lord's prayer and his intimacy and his quiet time with the Lord. And I'm challenged with this. I'm challenged with, are my heart and my heart, my mouth and my heart, are they in alignment with one another? Praat ek dieselfde die mond uit. You know, and what I'm saying with my mouth, is that a reflection of what's going on in my heart? And here we see that God doesn't have a problem and he doesn't say to them, oh, you know, it was 1,000 bulls too few. Or, you know, the songs were not loud enough. You know, or they weren't soft enough. Or there wasn't enough a quiet time. Or there wasn't enough dancing in the thing. He's not saying anything about the externals, is he? He's saying, their hearts are far away from me. Their hearts are far away from me. And I was thinking about this and thinking, why is joy such a powerful thing? Why is joy such a powerful thing? Joy is such a powerful thing because joy comes from the heart. Joy comes from the heart. And so one of the first signs that we can look at to see that we are being sucked into a religious system that is sucking the life out of our hearts is when we engage with God without any joy. Because God is by definition a joyful God who delights in us, who loves to spend time with us. And when we get, I want to read that in the New Living Translation. It actually says the following. Does anybody have it in English, the New Living Translation? It's so powerful what it says. You have your glasses.
And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And they worship, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote.
Thank you, Karis. Their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. That challenged me. I'm like, the worship, my worship of God, how much of this is just habit? My engagement with God, how much is just because this? And remember, those aren't bad man-made rules. Most of those rules were given by God. Most of those rules came out of good motivations, even the things that they added to the law. but they are man-made. And man-made things carry us for a certain amount of time. Before you know it, you can continue with these man-made things in your heart have strayed a long time ago. And you're just going on and you're just going through the motions. And often what you need then is a crisis to bump you out of that, to get your heart reconnected again. But I believe God doesn't want us just to connect with Him from crisis to crisis. He wants us to drink deeply from that well of joy that He has made available to us. And here's a beautiful promise. So I want to give you the context as to what my heart's desire is for myself and for you. I don't want us on a morning like this, our time is way too precious, right? 9 till 11, depending on how long I preach, you know, try my best to don't keep you too long. Some of you guys are here a lot earlier. But our time is too precious for us to engage with God, to walk away from, and God is like, you know what? There was just a lot of singing, some preaching, a little bit of giving, but their hearts are far away from me. Our time is too precious to be engaging with God as individuals, even to go through things and not have our hearts engaged. And I believe that there are some taps in our lives the devil has come to shut off, and it's a tap of joy. And God is wanting us to open that up again, because in that very same chapter, there's this beautiful promise in Isaiah 29, verse 17 to 21. Isaiah 29, verse 17 to 21. Let me just, Gareth, are you still in that, in the chapter there, in the New Living Translation? Okay.
Soon the forests in Lebanon will become fertile fields, and abundant crops will grow in these fields. And that will happen very soon. At that time, deaf people will be able to hear. They will be able to hear when someone reads from a book, and blind people will be able to see. They will be able to see things when it is gloomy and even when it is dark. Yahweh will enable humble people to be very joyful again. Poor people will rejoice about what the Holy One of Israel has done. There will be no more people who ridicule others, and no more arrogant people. And those who plan to do evil things will be executed. Those who testify falsely in order to persuade judges and punish innocent people will vanish. Similar things will appear to those who, by lying in court, persuade the judges to make unjust decisions.
Thank you. That's a beautiful promise stuck right there in the middle. It says that the humble, just go back to the previous slide, Daniel. It says the humble will receive joy. Let's go back to the previous one you had. Yeah. The humble will have joy after joy in the Lord. The New Living Translation says that the humble will receive fresh joy. Fresh joy. So on the one hand, there's people whose hearts are far from God. And then God says, but I will come and I will do a new thing. And that the humble, those that don't rely on the rules, those that don't even rely on the good experiences, those who are humble enough to say, God, I don't know what 2019 is going to look like. I don't know whether the things that I know will be good enough to carry me through. But what I do know is I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm humbly before you. He says, I will give them new joy, fresh joy. And then we know that Nehemiah says that their joy that we receive, joy after joy, says the HCSB, joy after joy will be our strength. It will be our strength. It will carry us through. It will carry us through the tough times and through the difficult times. And so I want to urge you to this year to really consider, just, is your heart still in it? Is your heart still in it? And how do you know whether your heart is in it? It impacts you in your emotions. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody comes into church cartwheeling and then doing handstands and you're rolling around on the floor. All right, some of that sometimes got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it does. But it speaks about the fact that I'm impacted in my emotions. Now, we have been created differently. You know, nature, nurture, and our personalities, it all differs. So our genetic makeup is different. Our spiritual makeup is different. Our gifts that we've received from God, the Father, is different. The gifts we've received from our Lord Jesus Christ is different. So we all react differently to situations. But there is an element of joy that somewhere down the line, it has to impact your face. Somewhere down the line, it has to impact something inside of you. Because God has created us to be expressive beings. And I believe that there's an anointing. I believe that there's creativity. I believe that there's power. I believe there's faith locked up in joy. And where we need to look at joy, not so much just as an emotion, but actually as a mighty spiritual weapon that God has given us. A mighty spiritual weapon. The Bible says that God laughs at his enemies. He laughs at his enemies. There's a joy that God has made available to us. And the devil and the world and the media and everything around us want to come and suck the joy right out of our lives. And we need to contend for it. You need to contend for it. You need to fight for it. Our relationship with God, Psalm 147, verse 10 to 11, and Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Our relationship with God is a delighting relationship. You know, many years ago when we did marriage prep, one of the prescribed books was the book in Afrikaans written by Tim and Beverly LeHay, Die Huweliksdaad. In English, it's called The Act of Marriage. Now, yes, Catherine, yes. Yes, that chuckle, yes. The Act of Marriage. That's a beautiful book. It's powerful. I took it with me on honeymoon. But just the mere name, Die Huweliksdaad. The Act of Marriage sounds so. Doesn't it? Die Huweliksdaad. And that's, you know, kids in the room, etc. But that's one of the areas where often religious spirit would come, and God has created Die Huweliksdaad to be an amazing experience. Amen? An incredible experience. God has created it that way. He's created men and women in that way. Why? To do what? To delight in one another.
You're very religious. Die Huweliksdaad.
Like one pastor used to say, code name, code word, vrou, dit is tyd vir die wil van die Here. We often approach God the same way. God has created human beings to delight in one another and to delight in Him. To take pleasure in Him. It's a relationship not of ons gaan kerk toe. You know, we will worship. We will give. No, it is a delight. It is a delight. How much of your service to God is still a delight? How much of your service to God is still a delight? How much of your interaction with God is still a delight? And if it is not, then don't go into 2019 thinking that it will just supernaturally swing back. You have got to dig in and find out from God what happened to your joy. Go back to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to renew your joy. Go back to experiences. Because this is basically the reality, I think, for us. If we, here in beginning of 2019, looking back at 2018, when you did some evaluation for this year that was passed, I'm sure that there were primarily two things, okay, that happened in your life and that will happen in 2019. Basically, there were some actions. The guys on my left probably can't see. And then there were some reactions. If you think back on your year and you evaluate your year, then basically everything that happened in your life can be attributed to or can be lumped into two groups. Actions, so in other words, there were things that you did. There were things that you initiated. There were things that you planned. There were things that came forth from your mouth, that you spoke, that you did. And you were either very proud of those actions, or you were not so proud of them and you wish you could have done them differently, and you trust in God that if you have the opportunity again, you will do them differently. Am I right? If you were honest and you took the time to think about 2018, you would have some actions, 365 days of actions that took place in your life. Things that you did. You did it. Your ma and your pa didn't do it. Your mother-in-law didn't do it. You did it, right? You did it. And you have to do what? You have to take responsibility for your actions, right? On the other hand, there were also some reactions in your life. If you think about your life, you think about these are the things that I did. And then you would probably think about these are things that were done to me and I reacted in a certain way. Reactions. Now, mostly we are very often trapped within reactions. We are trapped in reactions. We are reacting to things happening. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that joy, a spirit of joy, enables us to look at both of these and to elevate ourselves beyond that of a victim. If I have the spirit of joy with the Lord being with me and the joy of the Lord is with me, I look at myself as an overcomer. I look at myself as someone that is the head and not the tail, right? And so if you look at reactions, for instance, in our lives, at any given moment in your life, you will have a whole lot of external things happening in your life. Right? So not only were you performing actions and you were reacting, but there were also actions being performed on you. And in this coming year, you will have things being performed on you, external things happening to you. Right? So if we talk about externals, I mean, we can talk about many things here. We can start off, and maybe one of the first things that would come to our mind would be politics. Right? External things that you have no control over. So the laws being made, the bills being discussed, the budgets being approved, the money being spent in a certain way or not. What can be some other external things that can happen this year or did happen last year that you have no control over? What are some externals? Disasters, natural disasters, right? Tsunamis, droughts, like in our case. Deaths, right? Deaths on our roads, sicknesses and things that happen. What else? Somebody mentioned it? Time. Crime. Okay? You can make your list. But all of us in this room will on some level or another be impacted by external things. Politics, natural disasters, like I said, we had here, the droughts, deaths on our roads, deaths due to HIV/AIDS, all sorts of things, crime that's taking place. And what's interesting, of course, is that most of these externals we mentioned right now, they are negative. But not all externals have to be negative. There can be some things that are beyond your control, like you get a promotion. Now, somebody can argue, obviously, that is within your control. But hey, maybe you just have supernatural favor, right? But it's a nice surprise. There's a promotion that comes along. There's some more externals. Maybe there's a holiday that's coming up. Public holidays that have been planned, and you must take leave, all right? It's something beyond your control. But there are positive things happening. School starting, it's positive, yeah? Positive, Daniel's excited with that. School begin, right? There are positive things happening, external things that are working in on you. And in our lives, at any given moment, there are a million external things all working in on your life, okay? But not only do you have external things, you also working in on you, impacting you, on your joy. Remember what we're talking about? We're talking about delighting ourselves in the Lord. We are talking about living within the kingdom of God with joy in the Holy Ghost. So most people live with joy being in politics. So if Cyril Ramaphosa is the president, he's the best president ever, then we are very joyful about South Africa. If the drought gets broken and there's water, at least in our town, we don't care too much about Beaufort West, then we are very joyful. If at least the deaths don't impact upon us, then we are very joyful. If the crime doesn't impact my community and my family and I'm okay, but it's happening somewhere else, I'm still okay. Why? Because my joy is rooted in these external things. If it does impact me, if it does hit home, if I'm being burgled, if heaven forbid I lose a loved one, then my joy is severely challenged. The challenge for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that God is wanting to elevate our joy beyond the externals. Amen? He's wanting to elevate us, and that is going to take something supernatural beyond just the things that work in on our lives. Because Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, John, at your Bible, can you hear it like a stem? Romans, does anybody have a Bible close for? Anybody read that for us? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Okay, we have it up there. Paul urges his brothers. He says, brothers, I want you to present your bodies. I want you to present your hearts, your bodies, all of you, okay, as living sacrifices unto God, holy, pleasing to God, because this is your spiritual worship, right? So he's saying it's not just the songs you sing and stuff you do in church, but giving your whole body to God. This is your spiritual worship. It's acceptable unto God. Then he says, do not be conformed to this age, right? And that word conformed speaks about schema, the Greek word, schema, externals, outside things. He says, do not have your life conformed in our topic of conversation now so that your joy is rooted in outward things. This is going to be one, saints, I want you to listen to me. This is going to be one of the most biggest distinguishing factors between people in the spirit, kingdom of God, and people in the world is the source of our joy. The source of our joy. And the source of our joy will impact the flavor and the tone and the content of our conversations as the word that Desiree shared with us. Are we going to be conformed to the world? And I'm not talking about, you know, deceiving ourselves and not taking cognizance of these things. But the greater our joy is, the greater our source of joy, the greater our ability to impact these areas. If we are going to think like the world is going to think, if we are going to limit ourselves to have our joy rooted in external things, we are not going to be able to hear from God what we should be doing within these areas. But joy wants to elevate us and give us another perspective so we can see through God's eyes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Some of us need to have our minds transformed concerning joy, concerning how I react to these things. Now, our minds, of course, we know, the Bible doesn't say, be transformed by the removal of your mind. Okay, just be transformed by the renewing of your mind, all right? And in your mind, obviously, mostly, there are a lot of things going on there, but for the most part, you've got stimuli happening, and then on the other hand, you've got response happening. Right? And in terms of stimuli, we know that, again, your environment will be stimulating you, so it'll be things that you see, oh, forgive my handwriting. Things that you see, right? You drive down the road. We were driving from Beaufort West. A guy with a truck almost drove us off the road, all right? Those things from the outside, stimulating, okay? And then it leads to response on my side. He's coming there by the door, and he's coming down the hill and almost drives us off the road, and he comes past me, and I'm driving a little bit faster. So at first I'm thinking, no, man, surely this truck can't get past me. This is just wrong. You know, so I'm driving a little bit faster because I want to create some space between us, and he's still coming. You know, 130, 140, he comes past me, 160, then up the hill. And now I'm getting worked up, and so I'm on his tail and get my wife to take a picture of the number plate and so we can report the guy, which I must still do, but he's a threat to society. All right, but so there's stimuli, things that's working in on me, and I'm responding over on this side. You're all with me still. Okay, so from our environment, constantly, every day, you will be bombarded by a lot of external things. And you don't always have control over the stimuli, but you do have control over that response. But not only your environment will be giving you information, you will also be getting information from your own body. Right, so in any given moment, you're feeling temperature, you're feeling comfort or discomfort, you're feeling pain or what. And that's also sending information through to you on which you have to respond. Okay, so if you have got a massive need right now, you need to go to the bathroom, you've got to choose whether you're going to sit here till I'm done or whether you're going to go now. Okay, feel you're falling asleep, you've stimuli coming, your body's feeling tired, you've got to decide, am I going to get up, get some water, or just doze off while Heinrich is preaching me to sleep, right? So there's stimuli coming, you've got to respond. And then, of course, also there are your own thoughts. So your own thoughts are also sending you thoughts. Your own thoughts are also sending you stimuli that you have to decide how will I respond on. And this is often what we forget. That in your brain, in your cortex, there's a whole library full of thoughts, isn't there? Memories. And we mostly store our thoughts mostly as memories. Memories there that are attached to emotions. Okay? And when we talk about the joy of the Lord, I believe, I just had this picture, that the joy of the Lord is wanting to blow into a memory bank like a fresh breeze. Wants to blow in there, because in your memory bank, there are a million thoughts. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons, but they are mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. And then it goes on to say, taking captive every thought unto the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that in our memory bank from 2018, your 30 years of living, your 40 years, 60 years of living, you've got a memory bank full of thoughts that you have got to make a quality decision about today, as to how will you allow the things that have come from your environment, how will you allow, and your environment includes also how people behave towards you. Right, so let me give you an illustration. So I'm in Beaufort West with my brothers, and we go to the tennis court, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's already very hot. We should have been there at 6. We're playing some tennis. Right? So on the one hand, now something is happening. I'm playing tennis. Okay, that's on the externals. On the internal, here on the inside, me playing tennis is kickstarting a whole... me playing tennis in Beaufort West is kickstarting a whole lot of internal dialogues and things going on, because it is stirring some memories again, where I learned to play tennis in the first place. And it is reminding me, as I'm playing there, of a very specific coach that was very hard on me. And as I'm playing there, all of his words all of a sudden come back. I mean, I was 8 or 7. I'm 43 now, so that's a while ago. But as I'm on the tennis court playing tennis, all of these words and memories and things come flooding back, and externally I'm playing, but internally there's a dialogue going on. And that dialogue that's going on the inside is eventually beginning to impact my game. So much so that eventually my brother beat me like 6-1, my younger brother, you know, it's like unbelievable, I couldn't believe it. But it was as if I'm making all the mistakes again that I used to make when I was 8 years old, and I haven't made them in decades. Later on at home, I'm thinking through this, and now my body's also sending me signals, right? Because my left knee is aching, it's paining, it's like, oh, I can hardly walk, so sore. But I'm thinking back to Meneer Stander, hij was die tennis afrachter. Thinking back, I'm like, yes, like it. Why did this game upset me so much? It wasn't just the fact that I lost 6-1, and that was bad. But it was like, I felt like this guy that just couldn't be good enough anymore. I could just never please that coach. He was always just at me, always just at me, always at me. And that physical place that I was in was sending me a whole lot of stimuli. And I had to, at the end of the day, create some distance here. Now, just here behind your eye, sort of, you've got your prefrontal, lobe? What do you call the thing? Prefrontal cortex. Yeah. Your ability to distance yourself from your emotions and from your experiences and what you're going through, and to think about it. And this is where the Bible tells us, James 1 verse 2. Let me just read that for us. Can you just put that up, Daniel? James 1 verse 2. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. All right, so the tennis wasn't that big a trial. But it says, consider it a great joy. So the trials you're going through, consider it. So what does it mean? It means that God has given us an ability to consider. It means God has given us as human beings an ability. It's in your brain. It's wired your brain in such a way to take a step back from what you are experiencing and to consider it. To consider what's going on here. Evaluate. Now, what most of us do is we don't quiet down. We don't stop long enough to consider. We just go into the next game with the same thoughts and the anger. The tennis court was also the place where I learned one or two choice words that sort of made a reappearance that day. I'm not proud of it, but you know, yeah, just the flesh was still alive in it, and it came out in that moment. But what I did do was later that day was to talk to God about that, to talk to God about Mr. Standard. And I said, God, I thought that I was over this thing. My game had hugely improved. But as a 43-year-old, I was back as an 8-year-old boy, playing that game, losing that game, trying all sorts of different things, and just hearing, no man, so and all of those things. I could give it to God and say, God, thank you that you set me free from that. Thank you that I don't have to live to win Mr. So-and-so's approval. Thank you, God, that I can enjoy life that you've given me. Thank you, God, that you've made me more than an overcomer. Thank you that I'm more than just my latest tennis result. I could give it to God, and I could ignore the pain in my knee and beat my brother the next day. That was good. And now I'm still suffering from the pain, but it was worth it, right? It was worth it playing with a knee that was so painful. Why am I telling that to you? Some of you in 2019, you will be reminded of things. You'll be in situations where you are reminded, and there's some memories that will be triggered of stuff that happened to you 2018, a while ago, and then you've got one of two choices. You can either look at that through the eyes of love. It says, God, I thank you that I'm in the situation. I thank you that you make all things, all stimuli, everything that's happening to me, everything that's happening in my environment, everything that's happening in my body, everything that's happening in my thoughts, everything. Romans 8:28, God is able to make all things. Does that include politics? Does that include natural disasters? Does that include relational breakdown? Does that include being retrenched? Does that include getting a bad report from the doctor? Is everything everything? Is it? It is. Everything. God is able to make all those things work together for our good. But then it requires that we trust Him. And say, God, I choose to look at this through the eyes of love and not through the eyes of fear. Because fear sets off a whole bunch of negative reactions again. And I believe that God is holding before us as a church, as a people of God, this choice. Will we allow our lives this year to be dictated, the external things that will be happening to us? Your own thoughts. In this area, we know that, you know, some of your thoughts here will come from your soul, right? So that is just you. Some of the thoughts here will be coming from the devil, right? He didn't go extinct. Either he himself or he will send his demons. You don't really have to worry whether it's the devil or the demons. If it's just bad, it's bad. Rebuke the thing. Okay? And the Holy Spirit. So in this year, you will have environmental things coming against. Some of you guys are not living at home with your parents. You are alone in Summers of the West and you feel lonely. That's your environment. We want to impact upon your joy. Some of you are struggling with things in your body that you're struggling to get rid of. Maybe even some addictions, some learning disabilities, things that's happening in your body that's making it difficult for you. Some of you are having to deal with some thoughts, right? They come from your soul, thoughts that want to drag you back into the past. Like I said, and you will have an experience, you will have a boss confronting you, you will have somebody in relationship, a pastor, or anything, triggering some thoughts, taking you back in your past. Some of you will be struggling. Not some of you, all of us will be confronted with some demonic thoughts this year. They will come against you with shame, condemnation, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of hopelessness, thoughts of despair. All right? And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit, who God said is our counselor and would always be wanting to help us to respond in a way where we submit all of these things to God. All of these things to God. And when we do that, I believe that God comes and He restores our joy for us. Daniel, just put up 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. Although we are walking in the flesh, we do not wage war in a fleshly way, since the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, and we demolish arguments. Go on. Is that the last one you have up there? And every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete. And I want to encourage us to take some time out today or this week and to think about what are the things in my environment that's impacting upon my joy. Think about it. The Bible says consider. Don't just rush through it, because if you're just going to rush through it, you're not going to prepare yourselves. The devil is going to keep you trapped in just repeating the same mistakes year in and year out. And so what people often do is they try and change their environment. So I get a new car and I feel better about myself. I get a new phone, a new smartwatch, a new wife, new kids, a new town, a new job. And all of these things don't actually really change you on the inside. Okay, but you've got to think, what's the impact that this is making on my life? And speak to the Holy Spirit about it. Maybe there is something you can do about it physically. Maybe you need to get a housemate, or maybe you need to get a dog, or maybe there is something physical that you need to do. Speak to God about it, right? Our environment is not non-spiritual and the rest is spiritual. It is all spiritual. Speak to God about your environment. Speak to God about your body. Bring your body before the Lord at the beginning of this year. Lay your body with all of the challenges, all of the addictions, maybe the anger, the stuff that's inside of you. Maybe as you're growing older, you begin to see your dad or your mom more often. You begin to hear them more often. Don't just ignore those things. Bring it to the Lord and say, God, I am freaked out. Because I never thought I would say this. Always the thing that irritated me about my dad, or whatever the case might be. God, speak to me. Some of you with your thoughts. You've got to make a quality decision today. Say, God, I will not. You are not your thoughts. Right? You are not your thoughts. You are a spirit being created in the image of God, and you can take your thoughts captive unto the obedience of Christ. And the obedience of Christ says that the kingdom of God is in righteousness, it's in peace, it's in joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not in righteousness, peace, and in joy. It's in joy in the Holy Ghost. And I want to ask God, and God showed me these trees and just some of the roots of these trees just being trapped in environments, in physical bodies even, in thought patterns that are preventing us from bearing the fruit of joy that God is wanting us to bear. And I want to pray for us. If the band can come to the front, and we'll do one more song as we finish off. I want to ask you that you would this morning bring your environment before the Lord. Bring your body before the Lord and bring your thoughts before God. Bring it before Him and say, God, I bring this to you and I submit it to you. I loved what one friend of mine posted on Facebook, and she said that 2019 is not going to be, you know, amazing because it's a new year, but it is 365 days of surrender. 365 days of surrender for me to surrender everything that I'm going through to God, to trust Him. God does not delight in the strength of the horse or the legs of a warrior, but He delights in those who trust and fear Him. Trust and fear Him. Can we be a people that will trust God? Can we be? I believe that as a congregation, God has led us through 2018 to this place. We're saying, God, we're not going to try and impress people. We're not going to try and be the most amazing this and the most amazing that. We are trusting You that You're making all things work together for our good. And our response, our only true response, will be worship. But it's not worship where we ignore these things. You know, the devil even will push us in our worship. Say, just forget about your environment. Just forget about your body. Just forget about your thoughts. That's not worship. Worship is I bring my environment. I bring my body. I bring my thoughts into the presence of God. And I say, Father, I submit this to You. Submit this into Your loving hands. Say, Jesus, You reign. Jesus, You are able to make all of these things work together for my good. Jesus, You are King. Let's stand. Band, where you guys? Are you being raptured? Called in from far? All right. Let's just stand and let's bring our hearts before the Lord. So take some time. Just close your eyes. Just quiet your heart before the Lord. And think about an environment. Think about a thought, think about something in your body that's impacting upon your joy. I just felt that the Holy Spirit is not wanting us to just rush through this, but He's wanting us to engage with Him. I shared this last week, Sunday, And as it normally goes after something like this, I don't know how many of you guys were here. I almost want to guarantee for 90% of you that were here, you were challenged on your joy this week. That when God comes and when he gives us a key, we can know for a fact that that key will be challenged. It will be challenged. And then we'll be tested. Do we really believe it? Or just something that we just hold on to lightly? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Proverbs, where's this verse now? Proverbs 17, verse 22. Let me just read this for you quickly. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing. Think about that a little bit. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing. I believe that God is wanting to take the joy that's in our hearts and have it flow into our minds. I want to encourage some of you that you are really struggling in terms of your emotions. You're really struggling. And I want to say to you that you are not a second-rate Christian. You are not backslidden. You're not some inferior believer because you are struggling with your emotions. Maybe you're struggling from bipolar depression or from some anxiety. You are not inferior. There's nothing wrong with you. We can struggle mentally as we struggle physically. Christ is the healer. He's the healer. He wants to heal us. But I want to encourage you as well, do not fight your battles by yourself. If you are really struggling mentally, really struggling emotionally, you've been struggling to sleep for months or for weeks, you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, let us pray with you. But I want to encourage you to get some professional help as well. Come and speak to us. We've got amazing spirit-filled clinical psychologists and psychiatrists that would love to help you. To be able to look at all the different facets of your being. Don't allow the devil to lie to you that you must struggle in silence and keep you isolated. But I want to say to you, you are more than an overcomer. I want to say to you, there is something supernatural inside of you that is called the Holy Spirit. And for some of us, we need to just maybe get in some new habits. And a habit I want to encourage you in is to smile. The Bible says that a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's an article in U.S. Psychology Today, and it says that research has now found, and it's now confirmed that by smiling, you can lengthen your life. This is by smiling, you get the serotonin and the dopamine and all of those things as you would get in some prescription drugs. A Swedish university did some tests, and they put some smiling faces in front of people, and then they told the people, frown while you look at those smiling faces. Their first response was to smile, and then to change the smile into frown. You have to try very hard to resist the smile. We've been wired to respond to joy. And some of us don't realize that God, when he looks at you, his face is a smiling face. Not a little worm face. It's a smiling face. It rejoices over you. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning. We can bring our hearts and our minds before you. I thank you that you are bringing our hearts and our minds together. You are bringing our hearts and our minds together. If you are here this morning and like me, you were challenged by the Holy Spirit, that your heart has just drifted a little bit, that there's this divide between your mind, that the things that you do sometimes, you just do it out of routine, and they are good things, but your heart is sort of disengaged. Your heart maybe is surfing, or your heart is hiking, or your heart is sitting in front of the computer while you're wanting to engage with God. And there's just been a drifting, and you've lost your joy. It's much more exciting for you to be spending time with Netflix or on your bicycle or with your running shoes or with your friends over coffee than it is to engage with God. And it doesn't mean that you have walked away from God, but it does mean that you have shifted your joy. It does mean that you are running the risk of running out of strength. It does mean that you are not tapping into the fullness of what God has for you. And like me, he's calling you back to a place of joy in him. But their joy will require some honest conversations, some challenging conversations maybe, where you have to confront your environment. You have to confront your body. You've got to confront your thoughts and bring it before the Lord and consider it. Think about it. Think it through. Talk about it. Journal it. God, I call minds into the light here today in Jesus' name. I call minds into the light today in Jesus' name. Here, ek dank dat ons autoriteit kan neem, Vader, oor elke gees wat ons wil verblind. Every spirit that's wanting to blind us, God, to the joy and to the life and to the delight that we have in you. Lord, thank you. We take authority even over spirits of religion and over control. God, that wants to numb our senses, that wants to keep us happy with just going through religious motions and have our hearts far removed from you. Lord, thank you that you unite our hearts and our minds today, God. In Jesus' name, thank you for fresh outpouring of the spirit of joy, God. And as we engage with this world, that we carry your kingdom with us into environments, Lord, that maybe are oppressive, and environments, Lord, that are destitute and lonely, and we carry your kingdom with us. God, in the name of Jesus, where your kingdom will manifest righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you know the Lord is speaking to you, just raise your hand there where you're standing. I'm going to pray just for you. Maybe he's spoken to your heart. You can just put your hand on your heart. Or maybe he's spoken to you about your mind and your thoughts. Just put your hand on your thoughts. Or maybe it's a part of your body that you need to bring to God. Just put your hand on your body if you can. Let's just do something physical, like a smile, something physical that you do. And it releases. Research says as you just smile, it sets in motion a chain reaction, a chemical reaction in your body. Even before joyous things have happened, your body reacts, puts you into a balanced state. It puts you into a happy space, the way the Lord has wired us. Let's do something physical. Just respond now. Put your body, your hand on that part of your body or your thoughts, your mind. The Lord is speaking to you. Father, thank you. You see these hands. You see the response. If there's an environment, I see someone, it's like your office cubicle. And you're just holding it in your hand. Just lift it up before God. There's an environment. Put it in your hand. Lift it up before God. Maybe just as a fist. It can be your room. It can be your workspace. Just lift it up before Him. Consider it all joy. Father, I thank you for an ability to consider rightfully through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the truth of your word, our circumstances, Lord. Thank you that we will not simply be reactionary in this year, but I release, Lord God, into this room amazing joy-filled creativity, God. Joy-filled ingenuity. Joy-filled discipline. Joy-filled perseverance. Joy-filled peace in Jesus' name. Joy-filled fellowship and harmony, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you for wells that you stir in us, God. Supernatural wells. And you open our ears to hear the sound of Jesus coming. The sound of Jesus coming with joy, with joy, with joy, with joy, with joy, with joy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Some of you need prayer. You need to come. Let us agree with you. You want to come into the light and say, I know that I need to consider my room, that place where I cannot sleep. I need to consider it. I need to bring it before God. I need someone just to agree with me. Don't just keep things to yourself. There's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. If there's an environment that you are being challenged with, if there's a thought, maybe thoughts of disqualification. Some of you here struggling with addictions and you feel disqualified to be used by God in 2019. Come, let us agree with you to break that spirit of accusation over your life. Some of you feel lonely and shattered. Let's bring that loneliness before God. Let's agree together. We're going to worship the Lord in one song. Did you feel the mountains tremble? It's a nice praise song. So let's sing it from our hearts. Sing it over your thoughts. Sing it over your environment. Sing it over your emotions. But if you need prayer, don't delay. Come even while the song is being played. We're going to pray for us. We're going to worship. And then you guys can go. Father, thank you that in your presence there's fullness of joy. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us, Lord, into truth, that sets us free. And thank you that today we can receive by faith from you a spirit of overcoming joy. That Lord God, by faith, we can trust you, Lord, to open our blind eyes to see you delighting in us. To see you, Lord, smiling down on us. To see you enjoying us. To see you finding pleasure in us, God. And when we see you, we are changed. When we see you, our faces can't help but to smile back at you, God. The Lord, show me right now that there, some of you as little ones, you have never experienced the constant face of a smiling parent. Father God is saying, I'm going to rewire those memories. I'm going to give you new memories in my presence. New memories. New memories. Father, thank you that with joy we can be led forth, God, into this year. And trust you for an overcoming year. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.